Today is Rosh Chodesh Iyar, the second day of Rosh Chodesh, the first official day of the month of Iyar. And we mentioned the Parsha of the week is Parshas Emor. And in today's Shir, I'd like to discuss a little bit about both of those inyonim. During the time that the Jews were in the desert, Hashem gave us three extraordinary gifts. The man, instead of the bracha that we're used to making on our bread, Hamoitzi Lechem Min Haaretz, the bracha that they made was Hamoitzi Lechem Min Hashamayim. And the second was the Be'er, the miracle water, that the Jews, throughout the 40 years that they traveled, they didn't have to search for an oasis, a place of water. They had a traveling water machine. This special well that was given to us in the Zchus of Miriam Hanaviyah, which provided us not just with water, but just as the man had a miracle power that it could taste like almost anything you wanted it to taste, the be'er, the water from the be'er, could taste like any drink that you wanted it to taste. Could taste like chocolate milk, cappuccino, whiskey, wine, bourbon, whatever you wanted it to taste like. And then the third thing was the Anani HaKovoy, the seven special clouds that accompanied the Jews throughout the time that we traveled in the desert and provided a number of services. Number one, it laundered and tailored the clothing throughout that 40-year period. And number two, also, it smoothed out the travel, that instead of having to travel through mountains and valleys, the ananim, the clouds that went before them, would smooth everything out in order that the travel was made easier. One of the questions that several Sfarim ask is, why is it that we only have a holiday commemorating one of these three? The sukkah that we sit in commemorates the Anani HaKovoid. What about a holiday for the Be'er and the Mon? There are several different answers that are given. One of the answers that's given is that the main mitzvah that we perform in the sukkah is the eating and drinking. Even though sleeping in the sukkah is also very important, but the main mitzvah, in order to make the bracha, asher kiddushonu b'mitzvah simonu leishe basukkah, it's got to be that the person is eating, drinking in the sukkah, and it's got to be even an achilas keva, something substantial. So that's how in the sukkah is included the other two. One of the other answers that's given is the fact that the Torah tells us, basukkah is teshvu shivas yomim, you will sit in the sukkah for 7 days, Ki basukos hoshavti es bnei Yisrael b'hoitzi oisa me'eretz Mitzrayim. Because I sat the Jews in Sukkos when they left Egypt. Again, to go back for a moment, the Gemara says that there are two reasons why we sit in the sukkah. According to one opinion, it's because of these seven miracle clouds that accompanied us. Another rabbi says it's because we actually lived in Sukkos, in these temporary dwellings, throughout the time that we were in the desert. When did it begin? It began from Yetzias Mitzrayim, from as soon as we left Egypt, immediately as we went into the desert, the temporary dwellings, the clouds were with us at that time, and these temporary dwellings. Whereas the Mon did not arrive, we left Egypt during the month of Nisan, on the 15th of Nisan. The Mon did not arrive until the month of Iyar. That's when we started receiving the Mon. And we know the Torah tells us, Leman tizkor es yoyim tseischo me'eretz Mitzrayim kol yimei chayecha, that our holidays, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, commemorate the day we left Egypt. So here again, because of the fact that the Mon and the Be'er did not begin when we left Egypt, they didn't start until the month of Iyar, that's one of the reasons why there isn't a special holiday to commemorate that. The holidays are Zecher Liyitzias Mitzrayim. It's all about reminding us when we left Egypt. And therefore, the Anani HaKovod, which started at that point, they have the holiday for it. Shavuos, on the other hand, also is commemorating when we left Egypt. We started a count of 50 days. The purpose in leaving Egypt was to get to Har Sinai. Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, "Behoitzi oisam eretz Mitzrayim, when you'll take the Jews out of Egypt, Tavdon es Elokim b'har hazeh. They will serve me on this mountain. On Har Sinai is where the marriage ceremony between Hashem and the Jews would take place. In addition, the Sforim tell us that the month of Iyar is very significant for a person's health, that there's a special bracha during this month if a person is eating the proper food, or if a person has to take medication. This month of Iyar is mesugal to be able to help, that the food should only have positive effects, and that the medicine should have its curative powers. Why? Why is it? And the reason again is because of the fact that the mon began, this miracle food that Hashem gave us in the desert, began from the month of Iyar. In what way was mon different from any other food? One of the differences was that when we eat, anything we eat just about, we know has to go through a process in the body. It's digested, and it has to be separated. The good and the bad have to be separated. The good is retained in the body. Not only retained, but it's sorted, it's separated by quality. And the highest quality food is directed towards the brain, towards the heart, towards the most important organs of the body. A lower quality food can be distributed to less significant organs of the body. But there is a certain portion of the food that's psoilus, that's waste, that must be eliminated from the body. And if it isn't, the person's life can be in danger. The moment there's a breakdown in the body and the body is no longer capable of removing the liquid or the solid waste matter, you have people, Rachman Otzon, Lo Aleinu, that have to go on dialysis because the kidneys aren't working, the negative liquids are not able to be eliminated from the body correctly, or chas v'shalom, if the solid waste isn't able to be removed from the body, the person's life is in danger. The mon, the Torah tells us, was called lechem abirin, angel food. We know that sometimes you have something called angel cake. The mon was angel food. In what way? That just like the angels don't require any sorting out between good and bad, so too when the Jews, during the time that the Jews were eating the mon in the Midbar, it was so pure, it was so heavenly an item that there was no need to remove, to have any waste removed, and there was no possibility of having any negative effects on the body. When we eat, we know depending on the quality of the food that the person's eating, some foods could be 80% beneficial to the person and 20% harmful. Some foods could be 60%, but there's all kinds of percentages. Very often, even those foods that are good for us, they're not 100%, and certainly overeating, overindulging is certainly harmful. When it came to the mon was something where there was no waste and no harm. And because of the fact that it was during this month, the month of Iyar, that we received this gift from Hashem, this miracle mon, because of that, this month retained that power, that the food that a person eats, and lo aleinu, those people that have to be on medication, has a better chance of being effective, of being able to help the person during this month than any other time. The be'er, the special be'er that was given to the Jews during the time that they were in the desert to provide all the liquids that they needed. It's brought that the word Iyar, the name of this month, Aleph Yud 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 Reish, makes up the first letters of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Rachel Imenu. We know that we're told that the throne of Hashem has on it different images. It has images representing every level of creation. It has an image of a lion on it, representing chayos, non-domesticated animals. It has the image of a shoyer, an ox, the king of the domesticated animals, the behemos. It has the image of a nesher, an eagle, the king of the birds. And it has an image of man, Adam, representing the king of all of mankind, the real divine purpose of creation for the sake of man. In addition to those four images, we have also the images of these four leaders of Klal Yisrael, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Rachel Imenu. According to some, it's the image, the fourth one is David HaMelech, And it's also brought that it's Rochel Imenu. Both of those, Dovid HaMelech and Rochel Imenu, represent the Malchus of Hashem, the Kingdom of Hashem. That's a discussion for the Sifrei Kabbalah, it's not for now. Why is this significant regarding the month of Iyar? The month of Iyar is the month when we're preparing for Matan Torah. The Torah was given in the beginning of the month of Sivan, and from Rosh Chodesh already, we're starting to prepare for Matan Torah. So the month of Iyar is a full month of preparation to go into Sivan. This is why we're told that the Be'er and the Mon started during the month of Iyar. The term Be'er means well, and the word Leva'er also means to explain, to clarify. It's brought in the Holy Sforim that Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, this name of Hashem has 12 different ways that it can be formatted. There are four letters. Two of the letters are identical. The He appears twice. When you have a four-letter word and two of the letters are the same, you can format it 12 different ways. Yud He Vav He, Yud Vav He He, Yud Hey Hey Vav, etc., etc. If you work it out on paper, you'll see. These are called the Yud-based Tzirufei Havaya, the 12 combinations of how Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei can be constructed, which correspond to the 12 months. We're told that each one of these 12 months draws from a certain format of Hashem's name. The month of Nisan, which is the opening month of the year, draws from the standard format of this name. And we find it in a pasuk, a famous pasuk that all of us know, Yismachu Hashamayim V'Sogel Ha'oretz. The first letters make up Yud Hey and then Vav Hey, the name of Hashem in this format. And the Zohar HaKadosh gives us psukim for each one of those 12 different formats. For example, the month of Iyar, the format for the month of Iyar is Yud Hey Hey Vav, as appears in a pasuk, Al Zois Yishalel Hamishalel, Al Zois Yishalel Hamishalel, Haskel V'Yodua Isi. Yishalel Hamishalel, Haskel V'Yodua is Yud Hey Hey Vav. Exactly. Exactly. That's the name of Hashem that's associated with the month of Iyar, and it speaks about Haskel V'Yodua, to understand. To understand, to think deeply and understand. And this is one of the ramazim, one of the hints that's given to us, that this is a month when a person is supposed to focus on studying, and a person is given the ability to understand better, to understand Torah, to understand spirituality, things related to Hashem. It's brought that the Arizal, his closest student, was Rabbi Chaim Vital, whose yahrzeit was yesterday, the 30th of Nisan. The Arizal lived a short life in years, as did several other tzaddikim. The author of the Mesilas Yeshorim, Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato, Rabbi Nachman, these rabbis passed away before reaching 40 years old. And the Arizal had a two-year period to give over all the knowledge that he wanted to share with the world to his student, Rabbi Chaim Vital, who would be the one to organize, to document all of his writings and prepare it. His son, Rabbi Shmuel Vital, was the one who actually sorted it out and prepared the writings of the Arizal as we have it today. But Rabbi Chaim Vital, in a two-year period, had to absorb an ocean of knowledge that would enlighten the world about the teachings of Kabbalah that no one before had ever done anything of this magnitude. The Arizal once took Reb Chaim Vital on a boat ride. They went to the Kinneret, and they moved the boat, the Arizal moved the boat to a specific place where there was like a funnel in the Kinneret. And the Arizal told him, you should know that this is the place where the Be'er of Miriam is located. During the time that the Jews were in the desert, it accompanied them. When they didn't need it anymore, it departed, but it went into the Kinneret. The Arizal took a cup and put it into the water right over there and drew out a cup of water. He told Rabbi Chaim Vital, I want you to drink from this, and this is going to give your brain an expansiveness. This is going to give you the ability to be able to absorb and retain the knowledge that I want to give you, you're going to be the one to transmit it to Klal Yisrael. So it's this month of Iyar, when the Be'er and the Mon were given to us, this is the month that serves as the preparation for Matan Torah, to prepare us for Shavuos, when all of Klal Yisrael receives the Torah anew every year. Well, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos that there are 48 ways that a person acquires Torah. And it lists 48 different ways that a person has to conduct their life in order to be able to really acquire Torah properly. But we know that there's a general statement that's all-inclusive, where the Gemara says, Derech Eretz Kodmo LaTorah. Derech Eretz precedes the Torah. Derech Eretz, another word for Derech Eretz is Midos, good character traits. For a person to be what we call in French a mensch, this attribute of Derech Eretz, this will explain why there's a custom in Klal Yisrael. Immediately after Pesach, we start learning and reciting Pirkei Avos. Every single Shabbos, we recite one of the chapters of Pirkei Avos. There are six chapters. We go one cycle and then another cycle. We continue throughout the summer. Why is this necessary? Why is this a preparation for Shavuos? The mitzvahs of the Torah, the official mitzvahs, begin from Yetzias Mitzrayim. HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem Rosh Chodeshim, the first mitzvah that Hashem officially gave to the Jewish nation was the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. We have Bris Milah before that, which was given to Avram Avinu as an individual. But officially giving the Torah was from there. What precedes the mitzvahs? Pirkei Avos, the stories of our forefathers, the story of Adam HaRishon, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, the Shvatim, that precedes the mitzvahs. Why? Because Derech Eretz Kodma LaTorah. Where do we learn our Derech Eretz? Where do we learn our Midos from? From these stories, from how Avraham Avinu conducted himself. An open house, welcoming, willing to share with others, willing to give gifts to others. Yitzchak Avinu, a level of loyalty to Hashem, prepared to put his life on the line for Kiddush Hashem, for Hashem's honor. Yaakov Avinu, Titein Emes LeYaakov, the symbol of truth. Each one of the Jews, each one of our Avos, represents these Midos that build, that lay out this map called Derech Eretz, which is what precedes the Torah. This is why in the Torah itself, that precedes the mitzvahs, and this is why our preparation for the holiday of Shavuos is this Pirkei Avos, that on Shabbos, which is the most important day of the week, the Gemara tells us there's a debate whether the Torah was given on the 6th of Nisan or the 7th of Nisan. But the Gemara says everyone agrees that Torah b'Shabbos nitna, that the Torah was given to us on Shabbos, and therefore Shabbos is the most important day for learning. Those people during the week who don't necessarily have time, as much time as they would like, to dedicate to Torah learning, they have to work, they're supporting a family, they're supporting yeshivas, they're doing all kinds of things. Shabbos is a time that a person could devote extra time and higher quality time. No distractions, some of the many distractions that we have during the week that we don't have on Shabbos. So on Shabbos, one of the focuses, especially Shabbos Mincha, which is called Raiva de Raiva, and it's the holiest time on Shabbos, we say Pirkei Avos. A person would say that's almost like Bittul Torah. That's not real Torah, that's for girls. Pirkei Avos. It's not for girls, that's the essence of Torah, and that's what guarantees that a person will receive the Torah the right way. That's what prepares the vessel. And it's called Maseches Avos, or Pirkei Avos, to remind us that it's from them that we receive our guidance, our direction, the example of who to follow, that's in these Avos HaKadoshim. Last week's parasha, Kedoshim, the Zohar HaKadosh says that when the students of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai were getting together to study the parasha of Kedoshim, they said, we have to make a special celebration now. Even though they were always studying Torah, but they said this parasha of Kedoshim is packed with mitzvahs more than just about any other parasha in the Torah. If you look at the Sfarim, many of the Chumashim tell you before the parasha, all the mitzvahs that appear in that parasha, Kedoshim is either the biggest or one of the biggest, the most mitzvahs Aseh and Los Aseh. This week's Parsha Emor, which we're going to be reading, has in it all the holidays. Shabbos, Yom Tov, all the Yomim Tovim, Sfiras Omer, and many other fabulous things. It also speaks about the korbanos that were brought in the Mishkan. I'd like to focus on one little line in the Parsha, which has an incredible, important message for us. In chapter 22, Perek Chav Beis, Pasuk Chav Ches, Pasuk 28, V'shoyer oiseh, whether your sacrifice will be an ox, or a sheep, or a goat, oisoi ve'esbenoi loisishchatu b'yoyim echod. The mother and its child cannot be sacrificed on the same day, cannot be slaughtered on the same day. And this law actually applies today. It's interesting to note, I had the privilege of driving recently with one of the rabbis of the Eda HaCharedis in Yerushalayim, who's responsible for Shechita, overseeing Shechita in Eretz Yisrael, in Poland, other places where they oversee Shechita. And he mentioned that this is one of the things that they're responsible to try to be able to discern whether they're dealing with slaughtering a mother and a calf, its calf, on the same day. Now the question is why? Manishtana, why should it matter to us? What does that have to do with the kashrus? What does that have to do with Judaism making a difference between slaughtering the mother and the child on the same day? Rav Nosson Zal, in Likut HaLochas, in Hilcha Shechita, gives an incredible, beautiful explanation for this. An animal has life. We know plants have life in them. And even inanimate objects, rocks, mountains, it's a lower level of life, but it has a type of life in it that Hashem has injected into it, which keeps it the way it is. Those that study science, they learn about protons and neutrons and electrons spinning around. They never discuss who's spinning it or how is it spinning. We know that Hashem has created everything and continues to maintain everything. The fact that a mountain stays there and it doesn't just crumble is because Hashem has injected a life in it and given those molecules and those atoms the ability to stick together and remain tall as a mountain, or the water to remain within the boundaries that it's in, surrounded by sand that's containing it and controlling it. And there are different levels of life. The level that's closest to man is animals. And the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that many animals actually have in them not just an animal form of life, but they're actually reincarnations of human beings. The Zohar Kodesh points out that the mitzvah in the Torah, which tells us not to eat milk and meat together, loy sevashel gedi b'chalev imoy, don't cook a goat in its mother's milk. The Zohar Kodesh shows that if a person, if a Jew transgresses this and they eat meat and milk together, that soul comes back to the world as a gedi, as a goat, in order for it to be able to receive its tikkun. And when the animal, how does an animal receive its tikkun? When it's elevated, when its soul is elevated, when it's used to benefit human beings, when it's used to benefit a Jew, that's one of the ways that that form of life receives its tikkun, its repair, its elevation. This is one of the reasons why we make a bracha. When an animal is shechted, we make a bracha asher kiddushanu b'mitzvaysa v'tzivanu al hashchita. And the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch, warn that a shochet has to be a person of extraordinary yirah shamayim, respect for Hashem, because he's not just doing a physical act, he's performing an incredibly significant spiritual act. He is the one, through his bracha, if he makes it with the proper kavanah, and through his act of shechita, if he follows all the different laws that are found that are associated with shechita, he's going to be elevating the soul that's in that animal to elevate it from chai to medaber, to speech, from an animal to something that's entering into the human kingdom. This is one of the reasons Rav Nosson Zal says why in the Gemara there are five basic laws of shechita. Those five basic laws of shechita correspond to the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. By performing, by observing those five laws of Shechita, Shehiya, Drasa, Ikur, Hagrama, the four laws, as they're mentioned in the Halacha Vava, we're shining the light of the Chamisha, the five books of the Torah, into the soul of that animal to enable it to be elevated. This process of elevating souls that are in a fallen state is something that cannot be done. It's not fast food. It cannot be done quickly. It's something that must be done over a period of time. We say in our prayers and tell him, Doer ledoer yishabach masecha. One generation to the next generation will pass on the praises of Hashem. Ledoer vador nagid godlecha. From one generation to the next generation, we will tell over, we'll teach the greatness of Hashem. And the Arizal and the Sifrei Kabbalah explain that this is a process. It's something that has to happen over a period of time, and it's something that has to happen over a period of generations. There's gotta be a father, a son, a grandson. This is why the Torah puts so much emphasis on bringing children to the world, not to break that chain, that continuity, which is gonna lead to the final tikkun. No individual, Avram Avinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, could not complete this. It's something that Moshe Rabbeinu had to be able to pass on to Yoshua, to his children, to his students, from generation to generation. And if a person tries to speed things up, if a person tries to do something that's supposed to be done tomorrow and they try to do it today, they can cause damage. It's like flooding an engine of a car. We know that in order for an engine of a car to work, it needs delic, it needs gasoline, it needs fuel. The fuel has to be regulated. If it's coming in the right amount, the engine is functioning correctly. Flood the engine, you'll destroy it. Riboy shemen, goyrim kiboy haner. Too much oil can extinguish a lamp. Here also, we're told that when it comes to human beings, every single day of a person's life is significant. Every single day, there are certain things that can be done today. They couldn't be done yesterday and won't be able to be done tomorrow. And this is why there's so much emphasis in the Torah, Asher Anochi Mitzavcha Hayom. Hashem says, which I command you today. And the word Hayom is repeated many times in Chumash Dvarim especially. Asher Anochi Mitzavcha Hayom, Mitzavcha Hayom, again and again. Why? To tell us that it's extremely important to recognize that every day is like a generation. Just like we said before, Dor Ledor Yishav, one generation passes on to the next generation, one day feeds into the next day. And there are certain things, if I don't accomplish it today, it's gonna weaken my tomorrow, Chas V'Shalom. So here again, in a human being's life, this is the way it's got to be. And this is one of the reasons why the Golus, the exile that we're in, is going on for such a long time. Couldn't Hashem just shrink it? The answer is can. Just like in order for a woman to give birth, that the pregnancy has to continue over a period of 9 months or 7 months in certain exceptional cases. We want to try, we're going to do a cesarean, we're going to do an operation, we're going to take the baby out. And if the person doesn't know better sometimes, they think, okay, why not? He's a doctor, he must know. And they don't realize sometimes the decision is being made on personal reasons for somebody's vacation or something else. Whereas most rabbis will advise a person, don't touch. The baby knows exactly when it's time to come out. No speeding up. When it's time for the baby to, that's when it comes out. And very often, unless there's mamashe sakana, unless possibly more doctors have looked at a situation and they recognize that if they wait because of an extenuating circumstance, the baby's life is in jeopardy or the mother's life, there are rare exceptional cases which justify that. But usually the advice is leave it. When it ain't broke, don't fix it. Let the baby complete every minute that it stays inside. There's certain things being accomplished. Here again, in our case, of a person's life, the recognition that every day is so important, and this is one of the reasons why the preparation for Shavuos Matan Torah is Sfiras Omer. person would say there's nothing more immature, infantile than that. Hashem couldn't find something more babyish for us to do than counting the days? That's the preparation for receiving the Holy Torah on Har Sinai? The answer is yes. It's all about making us aware that every day counts. And every day has its avodah. And don't put things off. Whatever you can do today, don't say tomorrow, because you don't know if you're going to have the tomorrow, chas v'shalom. You don't know if you're going to be around the tomorrow, or you don't know if that opportunity that was available to you today is going to present itself to you tomorrow. That's for each and every one of us. That's the counting of the Oyem as a preparation. And that's this law of Oysoi v'ezbenoi lois ishchatu b'yoyim echod. There's a mother, there's a cow, and there's a calf. And these two, each one of them represents a unique tikkun. Each one of them, it's a generation, lahavdil, just like by human beings. And if we were to slaughter them, the shechita is the most important part of the tikkun. If we slaughter them both on the same day, it's destructive, it's harmful. It's trying to compress the tikkun, trying to do a tikkun that requires 2 days, trying to accomplish it in 1 day, which is defective. We should be zeicher. This is our prayer every day, that we ask Hashem to give us the schus to know what we're supposed to be doing today. We ask Hashem for guidance each and every day to make it clear to me. And there's a concept of zrizus. We know that from Avram Avinu, one of the most important midos that we learn, Vayashkem Avraham Baboker. The Torah says Avram Avinu got up in the morning. Everybody gets up in the morning. Why does the Torah tell us Avram? The Torah tells us that when Hashem was sending him to do one of the most difficult mitzvahs of his life, to take his son and sacrifice him on an altar, it's a mitzvah, it's an instruction by Hashem. What's the first second I can do it? I'm going to do it at the first moment. He got up early, b'hashkama, early in the morning. A Jew has an opportunity to daven shachris, to count sfira. We're told, do it at the first correct time. Obviously, there's a time a person puts on a talis 2 hours before sunrise, that they're not being zariz, they're making a terrible mistake. Everything, again, everything has its time and its place. But within the proper time, within what's kosher, the earlier the better. When it comes to bringing in the Shabbos, most people look at the calendar, what time is candle lighting? And they don't realize that that's the final time. That's the last time when a woman should be lighting candles, is the time that appears on the calendar. You're permitted to light candles from Plag HaMincha on. So if a person lights candles a few minutes earlier, if a person lights earlier than Plag HaMincha, it's a bracha levatala chas v'shalom. They're committing a transgression, a sin. But if a person waits, very often those people that wait till the last minute end up crossing that line. We should be zeicher to learn about and acquire the midos of the Avos HaKadoshim through the study of Pirkei Avos, the study of the Torah, and be able to derive all the lessons and guidance from each and every parsha in the Torah. And be zeicher that Hashem should bring us the final gula with the coming of Moshiach, the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, Meher V'Yameinu, Amen V'Yameinu.